Welcome to Firm Foundation. In these times of shifting standards and faulty foundations, there is a solid place on which to build a victorious life. And that place is the firm foundation of Jesus Christ and the Word of God. Your host for Firm Foundation is Brian Hudson, a Bible teacher, pastor, author, and producer of Life Enriching Media.
Today, we're going to bring a word on this topic, what God is doing in you during a pandemic. Say, Lord, thank you for what you're doing in me during a pandemic. And as I said earlier, this pandemic has changed everything, but some things have not changed. What hasn't changed is God's will for your life. What hasn't changed is God's presence in your life. What has not changed is God's purpose for your life. And even though we can't do all the things that we want to do in the way we have planned on doing some things, yet God is doing a lot through us in different ways. Amen. And you know what? If all you can do is offer prayer and intercession, that's a lot being done. I will say that maybe our prayer life has gotten stronger during this pandemic. Perhaps we've learned to have more personal worship toward God. Because of a lack of being able to worship in person when you want to, we've had to press into God to worship Him in spirit and truth, no matter where we are. And that is a good thing. And what few things we can do, we do safely and by the grace of God. So I want to just talk to you about what God is doing in you during a pandemic. Now listen, this pandemic will pass. It's been a whole year. We thought back in March, oh, we'll be through this thing. We'll be through this thing in June, you know, and certain people without knowledge were saying it's going to disappear, you know, and that kind of foolishness. So, no, this is a real deal. This is not a figment of somebody's imagination. This is very, very real. And we do thank God we began praying in March that there'd be scientists would discover a vaccine and do it in an accelerated manner. And they've done that. They have three companies that found vaccines, so discovered. So we thank God for prayer, and we thank God for science. Amen, somebody. No, God gave science. God gave us nature. God gave us a way to utilize the elements in the nature He gave us. So we just thank God that He is helping us, and it's helping us appreciate that we don't get through life just through prayer, only by the Bible, but God is using all manner of people, all manner of tools, medical science, all of that's being used for His purpose. You believe that? Let's go today to Philippians. We're going to study Philippians today. We'll stay in the book of Philippians our entire time because this is a tremendous text. I want to give you some background after we read our text for today. Philippians chapter 1, it says in verse 1, Paul and Timothy, bondservants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are at Philippi, with the bishops and deacons, grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making requests for you with all joy. For you all with joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, he that has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Just as it is right for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my chains and in the defense of the confirmation of the gospel. You all are partakers with me of grace, for God is my witness how greatly I long for you all with the affection of Jesus Christ. Now, this world has seen pandemics before. This world has experienced many calamities and heartbreaks. We've seen regional and national problems. And as the Apostle Paul spoke or wrote these words, the Apostle Paul was living in the kingdom called Rome, Roman Empire. And he was living during an era where the emperor was named Nero. He came into power during Paul's ministry. And Emperor Nero was especially cruel toward Christians, regarded them as a threat to the Roman Empire, and so they were subsequently tortured and killed and mistreated and in ways that I don't want to tell you right now. I thought about sharing some examples, but it's too bad to share. But the point is, Nero was inflicting great harm on Christians, a pandemic of persecution, if you will. And therefore, even the believers in that day, they worshiped, they served, but they had to do things in a different way because of the concerns of being arrested or tortured. And so in some ways, they were, as we are today, living in a very unusual time and doing things in unusual ways. But moreover, the Apostle Paul himself, when he wrote here that he was praying for the people and that inasmuch as both in my chains and in my defense of the gospel, the Apostle Paul wrote this letter from jail, wrote this from prison. Paul wrote this from prison. And what's interesting about this letter is that, again, the book of Philippians, the letter was written to encourage believers during a difficult time. And here's a man who himself experiencing difficulty, who is saying to others, be encouraged, have joy. Matter of fact, in this text, the Apostle Paul spoke of joy numerous times on some 15 occasions. 16 times he spoke of joy in this brief letter. 16 times. And then for the 104 verses in this letter, for 51 verses, Paul talked about Jesus. He mentioned Jesus. He encouraged them to draw close to Jesus. You know, we thank God. I thank God for church. I thank God for the Bible. I thank God for Christians. But you know what I thank God for most? Jesus. Jesus Christ makes all this happen. And that's why it's concerning when people talk about some kind of faith or what God has done and don't get around talking about who made it all possible, Jesus Christ. Worse is to have these so-called prophecies going out, prophesying this, prophesying that. The Bible says in Hebrews, listen, Hebrews 1, God who spoke in times past by the fathers through the prophets has in these last days spoken to us by his Son. Hear me clearly. You don't need a prophet to tell you about God. You know God through Christ yourself. Prophets may encourage. Prophets may inspire. That's what we as prophets do, and I am a prophet. But we don't make the mistake of pointing people to ourselves or saying to people that I got a word for you, you got to hear from me. You don't have to hear from me. You got to hear from Jesus. And then we who are his ministers, then we're to represent him to the people. But ultimately, we should train people to go to Jesus. That's why Paul, in the midst of a difficult season in the lives of the Philippian people, the church at Philippi, in the midst of his own suffering and inability, he couldn't go anywhere. I mean, Paul was a missionary. Paul was into going places, go to this church for 2 weeks, this church for a year. Paul was all about going, and Paul couldn't go anywhere. Paul wasn't just in jail. He was chained to a Roman guard, chained to him. And when a guard chain shifts, that guard left, unhooked his chain, new guard came, put the chain on, and they were literally chained together for a season. So then the Apostle Paul is telling us what we ought to listen to here, because he knew wherever he spoke. And if he and the church could prosper in a pandemic of persecution, we can prosper in any pandemic, coronavirus or otherwise. And so that by now, we've learned this. It's been since March, this thing has become official. It was around before March, we know that. But March began the month we recognized the threat of it and began to take measures. And so here we are now, all these months later, still dealing with it. And I believe this, that, and I know this for a fact, that God has used his word, his presence, and the spirit of Christ has encouraged us. Yes. Kept us on task and focused. He's kept us encouraged, kept us healed, and healed those who were sick. Amen. Yes. And some haven't made it, but most have by the grace of God. So I want to just encourage us today, as we look at this book and draw some brief examples from this great letter, that yes, we are the people that God is still using and who is still ordaining to be fruit, to bring the fruit of Christ in our generation. You believe that? No doubt about it. Now, I want to also encourage us that there are lessons we're going to draw from this text. And but first, let me say a word about happiness. Happiness and joy are so important today, but they're different. We always teach you that they're different. And it's important to understand why, because Paul is talking about joy, not happiness, because Paul wasn't happy in jail. Amen, somebody. Christians weren't happy being persecuted, but they had joy. So happiness is based on favorable circumstances. So, you know, I like to travel. Talking to Michelle yesterday about, you know, she's a traveler, even more than I am, you know, I like to travel. And, but man, hey, we haven't been anywhere. The last trip I had was December of last year. Haven't seen the airport inside of an airplane, you know. And like, man, I want to go somewhere, but it's not time yet. So I'm not happy. I'm not happy. I ain't gonna lie. I'm not happy. What I want to do, man, is get that ticket, run to the airport, get my drone, my camera, and my computer, and go somewhere and fly that drone, take those pictures. You know what I'm saying? I'm not happy. Because happiness is based on favorable circumstances. Now, I'm happy about other things. I'm happy to see my children, happy to see my wife, I'm happy to see you. I'm happy about other things. My travel happiness is not there, but my happiness of seeing a few people every now and then is there, amen? And I'm healthy, I'm happy. Another birthday. So I'm happy about many things now, don't get me wrong. But happiness is based on circumstances. But joy is based on knowing the will and unfailing provision of God. Please get that. Say that. Say joy is based on knowing the will and unfailing provision of God. Isn't that good? Knowing God's will, his unfailing provision, man, that's joy. That is joy. Now, happiness is like seeing the sunshine when there are no clouds. We all like those sunny days, don't we? And that's like happiness, like seeing the sun. But joy is knowing that the sun is always shining and giving life regardless of clouds or weather conditions. So joy is like coming outside on a cloudy day and knowing the sun is still shining. And for those who travel a lot, all of us have traveled some and on airplanes, I love it when you leave some place on a cloudy day and the airplane goes into the clouds and comes out above the clouds and the sun is shining. And it reminds me that the sun is always shining whether I see it or not. So happiness needs to see some sunshine, but joy knows the sun is always shining. Get that picture in your mind. That's what joy is like. All right. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Question, what is the good work? What is the good work he talked about that he's doing, begun and doing in you? Now, your good work isn't only what you've done. The text, I believe, indicates more. It's the work that he has done in you and is doing in you. So being confident of this thing, you see, confidence is important to have confidence about things in life, about what God's given you, what God's doing in you. Confidence is very important because, see, confidence, I always tell you, confidence, first of all, faith is in what God does, but confidence is in what God has given you. You should have confidence in what God has given you and have faith in what God can do through you and for you, right? So confident of this very thing, Paul said, that good work he's begun, he will complete it. Be confident of that. We are concerned about things that we're into, our schooling and our assignments, our jobs and projects. We have to work on those things, and there's not always a guarantee it's going to get done because things come up. But you can be confident that the good work he's doing in you is going to be accomplished. It will be accomplished no matter what happens because he's doing it in you. What has God done in you in 2020? During this pandemic, what has God done and is doing in you? Now, think on that. Please do, because I want you to realize the thing about trouble and pandemics is they try to dominate all your thinking, all your time, all your planning. Trouble and difficulty and persecution try to dominate all of you. But the fact is, what can never be controlled in you is what God is doing. Pandemic definitely changes what we can do, no doubt about it. But nothing can change what God's doing in you. And so he says, we're confident of this very thing. He that's begun a good work in you will complete it. Say he'll complete it. Say he is completing it. My question is, what is it that God's doing in you? It may be, like I said earlier, maybe you have this year, you've grown closer to God in your prayer life. You've read books like you haven't read before. You've become more studious. You've finished some things you wanted to do. I mean, so what's God doing in you? Maybe he's helping you become wiser in how you handle finance, because finances are being squeezed and resources are out there, but things are different. Well, maybe that work in you is stewardship, giving you wisdom. Things about your health, right? What is God doing? He's doing some stuff. He is. And so be confident. Be confident in everything God is doing in you. That good work. Say good work.
Good work.
Good work. Now let's talk about some items. What is God doing in you? I'm going to draw these straight from Philippians, all right? First of all, God is making you lights in the world. Say, Lord, thank you. You've made me a light in this world. Philippians 2:13 says, for it is God who works in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation or generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. Because Paul labored in the word, labored in discipling, labored in preaching and all this, planting churches. And so he's saying, look, he's saying to the believers at Philippi and to all of us that God, part of the work he's doing in us, he has made us lights in this world. Now, can anyone say or deny there's darkness in this world? There's darkness all around us. All up in front of us, and we read it, we see it, and yet it's the same, it's that same darkness. God says to you, I've made you a light in that darkness. So how are you shining? In what ways do you shine? Jesus said that we should let our good works be seen, that others may glorify God, right? And so that the point is, and we shine as lights in the world. So then your light is a point of hope for people. It's a reference point. You know, if you're in a very dark place, you want some light. Either produce a light or find a light, because light is the best thing in the world when there's darkness. And so guess what? You're the best thing in this world because God has empowered you to be lights in this world. Say, thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
I am a light.
I am a light.
He says, hold fast the word of life, right? So light and life, this is what God is doing. Another thing God is doing is this. What God is doing in you? Well, he is making you dependable and trustworthy. Philippians chapter 1, verse 19 says, but I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you shortly, that I also may be encouraged when I know your state. For I have no one like-minded who will sincerely care for your state. For all seek their own, and not the things which are of Christ Jesus. You know, Apostle Paul faced what many of us face, is with all the things he was doing, the great things he was doing, and the work, it's amazing how few people actually are engaged in doing God's work. You know, given the size of the church, and I mean, overall, how few people actually are doing the Lord's work. So Paul said that he prayed for the Philippians, he thanked God for them, and he commended Timothy, whom he said, I have no one like-minded. Anyone else like Timothy, who shares my heart, shares my mind, and will sincerely care for you the way that I would care for you, right? So Paul sent Timothy because he was dependable and trustworthy. So the fact is, God's making us dependable and trustworthy, helping us carry vision and carry purpose and carry the heart of our leaders into the world, into the kingdom of God. And so God is making us dependable and trustworthy. Next, God is making you aware of pitfalls and dangers. Say, Lord, thank you. You're making me aware of pitfalls and dangers. Philippians chapter 3, verse 1 says, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. For me to write the same things to you is not tedious, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the mutilation. Wow, so, you know, Paul, he went there. You know, he always went there. And so now he's saying that I want you to be aware of the pitfalls and dangers. First, he said, rejoice in the Lord, rejoice, rejoice and be glad in him. But for me to say these things is not difficult for me because for you it is safe. It's safe that I warn you and guard you against the foolishness in this dark world. He says, beware of dogs. And dogs would be people who are without discipline, without purpose, without clarity, without the will of God. He said, beware of evil workers, which kind of speaks for itself. And evil workers deal in deception and lies. Evil workers deal in deception. People who lie are evil. I went there too. I'm like Paul. Amen. Liars are evil. Liars hurt people. Liars cause injury. Liars cause deaths. Liars cause all manner of difficulty. And then the mutilation. There he's speaking of circumcision, that there were those who said even grown men should be circumcised to fit their religious point of view. Mutilation. So Paul also gave these clear warnings and clear admonitions to the Philippian church. And again, what God is doing in us, he's doing all the good things. He's doing also, he's preparing us to deal with and be safe against the pitfalls and dangers of our times. What God is doing in you? Well, he is helping you press forward. Say, press forward. Philippians 3, verse 12 says, not that I've already attained or I'm already perfected, but I press on. Now, I press on. He's in jail saying this, y'all. He's in jail, chained to a guard, talking about I press on. How can you press on when you're in jail? Because pressing on is not your physical motion. Pressing on is your mindset. Pressing on is your mindset. You can press on in a pandemic. You can press on, you can't move. Like I said, Nicole, she pressed on and ran for school board when she couldn't even walk. That's a good thought, isn't it? And won. I say that. That's a win. Second highest vote total. Yeah, okay. So yeah, I press on. Because God is not limited by a pandemic. Pandemics limit people, but it does not limit God in people. He says, I don't count myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. He said it twice. I press. I press on. I press toward the goal. Say, I press. Yeah. See, pressing is not a work of the flesh. You only press because you have grace to not stand still. You press because you're not going to be stuck in your mind or stuck in fear of a pandemic or of any kind of, whether it's persecution pandemic, viral pandemic. You know, I mean, there's always a pandemic going on. Price of gas is a pandemic for some people. And then we don't become worn down by a circumstance until our moods change. Now, listen, moods sometimes change. We do have situations where we need to get some help, mental health-wise, nothing, that's all proper. It is. It's a part of your blessing, amen, in a pandemic. Get some help. Whatever it might be, God's giving you the grace to press. Say press. Press. Amen. What else is God doing? Well, he has removed your anxiety and he's guarding your heart and mind. Remove your anxiety and is guarding your heart and mind. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God which surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Be anxious for nothing. Who said this? A man in jail said this. A man in jail, a man in prison, chained to a guard, without any comforts, almost no relief, is saying, you know, be anxious for nothing. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. He says, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, that's last week's message, right? Giving thanks. In everything, giving thanks. Paul wasn't happy. He wasn't giving thanks for the situation, but he gave thanks in situation. He gave thanks. And that guard, man, I tell you what, I'm sure that, you know, those guards got near full. Because they didn't gag him up, you know what I'm saying? So Paul was talking. And I can imagine Paul talked all day long to those guys. You know, how you doing? What's your name? You got kids? You got wife? You need prayer for something? You heard about Jesus? Oh, man, not now. Oh, now's a good time. I don't have no time. Got all time in the world. I'm chained to you. So, Paul gave witness. And, in fact, the word says one place that the palace guard heard. I mean, it was known, obviously, who they had in prison. So, see, this text makes it so clear to us that Paul, in the midst of a persecution pandemic, is making it clear that what God is doing in you will be completed unto the day of Christ. What he has done in you, he will complete it. You believe this? Amen. And here's a man who knows whereof he speaks. One thing, if Paul wrote this from a beach, you know what I'm saying, wrote this from a hotel room, Paul wrote this from jail. It's the most joyous letter in the New Testament. It's the most joyous epistle in the Bible, and it came from somebody in a jail. What God is doing in you, he has made you a giver and supplies all your needs. He's made you a giver, and he supplies all your needs. Philippians 4:15 says, now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving, but you only. For even in Thessalonica, you sent aid once and again for my necessities. Not that I seek a gift, But I seek fruit that abounds to your account. And my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Now, you really cannot read verse 19. You can't claim verse 19 unless you're walking in the previous truth in these verses. That is, that the blessing of God supplying every need was for those who had been giving and sowing and resourcing God's purpose, God's ministry, and so forth. It's not that God doesn't show mercy and help us. It's not that you don't have money without giving anything to anybody or any purpose of God, but it's just that there's something sweeter and more noble when you're giving to God's work, God's servants, and you're letting and God supplying your need. Listen, in our day, many of us have the power to supply our own needs. So you really can't tell people, if you don't serve God, you won't have no money. That's a lie. Gangsters got money. All kind of money. Entertainers got money. So you can't say that you don't give and serve God, you won't have any money. No. Mm-mm. It's just that it's not God supplying. I want God supplying my need. Even though it comes through the various means that I have of earning, I want to say to God, thank you, Lord. Because I've been in place of having things for myself, by myself, and taking glory for what I've done. Again, and God, people have money. But when you are serving God's purpose, then it is God supplying all your need, not just your financial need, but your need for healing and for encouragement, amen, and for strength. Money can't buy some stuff, y'all. You know, people have all, you know, Howard Hughes was famous for being one of the richest persons in the world who went insane. He had all this money, all these people, but it wasn't God supplying his need. We need God to supply our need. Because our need isn't just money. Our need is every level, spirit, soul, body. Yeah, he blesses us financially. Obviously, we know this. We know this. But don't go around telling people that. If you don't give, you won't have no money. You won't have houses and cars and vacations. You won't have, that's a lie. You won't be happy. Hey, folk are happy with some money. Money can't buy happiness. Yes, it can. What are you talking about? What are you talking about? It just can't buy joy. And joy is what you need when the happiness runs out, and happiness always runs out. Yeah. Happiness always runs out. So buy yourself some happiness and be happy. You know how it is. My wife and I, we vacationed in Hawaii a couple years ago. Our children sent us on our anniversary. We stayed in this 5-star hotel, and we had like 3 pools and 5 restaurants and Mustang convertible. And man, we are pulling up next to Rolls Royces and behind Bentleys and stuff, man. Like, hey, we living large. You know what I'm saying? We living. But the 8th day came. It's time to check out. Like Cinderella, you go back to being pumpkins and stuff. That whole thing was a fantasy, y'all. We don't live like that. We got to enjoy it for 8 days. We're happy for 8 days. In that condition. Right. Now, happiness together was the key, right? The point is, so happiness runs out, y'all. Them vacations, they end. That fine rental car, it goes back. You getting back in your car you drove to get to the car rental place. Amen. That's all right. Because we have learned we don't live by happiness, we live by joy. And we thank God for the happy times. Amen. So the point is, God supplies all your need. You need joy. You need joy. You need joy. You need God's presence and blessing, spirit, soul, body. That's what happens when you give and sow, is you have God supplying your need. Not just needs, need. And I've always taught you this as well. The way I look at that is, you know, I don't have needs. I am a need. I don't have needs. I myself am a need. So God supplies all my need. And when he does that, all the items are taken care of. I don't spend time with a laundry list of needs. Now, I tell God, you know, yeah, I'm specific about things, but I don't bring God every day a laundry list of things. I just let God know what's going on, amen, all the time. And let him supply my need, because the fact is my need, listen, you may think, well, Pastor, I need some money. No, you need some wisdom. Because you keep getting money and messing it up. So obviously you need more than money. You need a budget. Amen, somebody needs some plastic surgery. I don't mean the facial type, I mean, you know. So I need money. No, see, God supplies all your need. Your need is sometimes deeper than what you think it is. Our need is oftentimes different and deeper than we think it is. So you come to God, oh, I need this. God says, okay, let's talk about that. Let's sit down and deal with this. So you come to God with a quick little prayer, sit off a prayer request, and God says, hold up, sit down. Let's talk. Oftentimes, our needs are an opportunity for education. Right? We jump up, I need this, I need that. And then the Lord says, okay, let's talk about that. Ends up being a whole seminar, amen, from God. Or he'll send you somewhere to get some education. So he will supply all your need. So then listen, when we're giving and sowing the way God says, this is one of the benefits you get back from God. He helps you with everything. People who mess around with church and play church, they just get little bits and pieces of things here and there. But those who serve Jesus, you get the whole course. You get the whole course, amen, the whole seminar, every book, every lesson. Because God's into supplying our what? Our need, which is bigger than needs, amen? So these are the things I believe God is doing in you. Let me throw in one last bonus part here. And this is going to be, I'll give you this quickly, 10 things successful people never do again. How many folks here are successful? By far are you? Come on now, throw your hand up. By faith, okay, amen, all right. Here's 10 things you'll never do again. You will not return to what has not worked. Things and people that haven't worked. Number two, you would not do anything that requires you to change and become someone that you're not. Right? I'm not getting on the latest singing show, The Voice, The Mask, Voice, all that. I ain't getting on that. I still can't sing. So the new show don't make me want to go out there. That's not me. I write books. I preach the gospel. I teach and empower people. So don't be tempted to become who you're not, because you can't anyway. We just frustrate ourselves. Number three, those who are successful do not try to change into another person. That's obvious. Number four, those who are successful, again, things you never go back to, they do not believe they can please everyone. You know that, right? You can't please everybody. Number five, they choose short-term comfort over, do not choose short-term comfort over long-term benefit. Ed Owen spoke about that. In this pandemic, we had a you know, really just look in favor of long-term benefits, right? Cut down the big gathering to be around next year for the big gathering, right? So we're going to sacrifice the short-term. Number six, we do not place more faith in people than faith in God. Number seven, we do not take our eyes off of the big picture. That's why I'm saying this pandemic wants to captivate your mind, wants to shut you down emotionally, wants to make you feel frustrated. But don't let anything keep your eyes off the big picture. And Paul did say again in Philippians, he told us plainly that we're going to, you know, forget things behind and press forward to what's ahead and reach for the high call of God. Again, things successful people never do again. They don't fail to ask why they are where they find themselves. How did I get here? Right? If I don't like where I am, let me check my seed. What I've been sowing or not sowing. what, you know, if I don't like what's happening, then let me ask myself, why don't I like this? Just ask. What's going on here? Bible says, ask of God, he'll give us wisdom, right? And finally, we don't forget that inner life determines outer success. And this is how much more is this true in pandemic where the outward things we want to do, we can't do all those things now. So we got to focus on the inner development, inner success in our minds, our hearts, our beliefs, our theology, so that when we are able to reemerge fully, outwardly, we can carry success, carry from what's in your heart out to the world around you. Because that's what success is about. It's not just about overnight success, someone jump up. No, it's about a whole lot of work that's going on in the heart, sometimes out of view of others, and God working with us. As he said, again, he said there in Philippians 1 and 6, that good thing, that good work he has begun in you, he will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Focus on that. Focus on that. Focus on that good work he begun in you. He will complete it. Say, the good work he begun, he will complete. All I have to do is cooperate. It's a good deal, isn't it? Sometimes you get to be a part of something, a good thing, and all you got to do is cooperate. And some folks are so crazy, so silly, they can't even cooperate in a good thing. But, you know, hey, we're not crazy. We're not silly. We know a good thing when we see it. We know God, God's word, God's church, God's kingdom. We're going to cooperate with him when we have the opportunity because he only has good things planned for us. Amen. So I thank God for you. I thank God that these are the things that God is doing in you during a pandemic. And I just mentioned a few things. And I encourage you to sit down with God in your prayer and your devotion time and just think about, consider this, and focus on what God is doing. Because it's easy to see what's happening in the world. It's easy to focus on the ridiculousness of things around us. But there's so much good God is doing in you. Focus on that. Amen.